The National Catholic Register is the essential and reliable source of news and views for Catholics. Subscribe today. Go to EWTN.com and click on the link for The Register or call 800-421-3230.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Tim Drake talks with Dr. Janet Smith of Sacred Heart Seminary about her recent article regarding teenage attitudes on sexuality. And in the second half of our program, Tim talks with Tom Peterson. He is the founder and president of Catholics Come Home, and they'll be talking about the national rollout of their television ad campaign taking place during Advent. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for The Register. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Tom, and a blessed Advent to you.
Thank you, my friend. You know, Dr. Janet Smith has been a very strong voice on matters of sexuality and morals and ethics, all as taught by the Catholic Church for many years now.
She sure has, Tom. Dr. Janet Smith holds the Father Michael J. McGivney Chair of Life Ethics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit. She speaks internationally and has written extensively on Catholic teachings on sexuality and bioethics, and has also served as a consultor to the Pontifical Council on the Family. She recently authored an article called Teaching Moments on Sexuality for the National Catholic Register, which takes a look at teenage attitudes towards sexuality. And thanks for being with us to talk about that article, Dr. Smith.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
So first of all, in your article, Teaching Moments on Sexuality, which readers can find in the National Catholic Register, you wrote that it's practically impossible for today's teens to have a healthy understanding of sexuality. Why did you think that's the case?
Oh, I think because I think it's an uncontroversial claim, I think it's. I mean, any parent is in a state of almost constant panic about what their teenagers are viewing on TV, movies, etc. I mean, sex is treated as being such a casual act. It used to be that we use the phrase lovemaking, that having sex was the same as lovemaking, and that phrase now sounds antiquated to people. Sex has very little to do with love, very little to do with commitment or deep relationships. It really is just a satisfaction of a physical urge with a degree of attraction, obviously, to another person. But the entertainment world just presents sex as an absolutely casual act. It's no different from having a meal with a person, practically. So I think when you grow up with that atmosphere, you cannot have a proper understanding of sex.
And I mean, are you talking primarily about the cultural influences, television, internet,
absolutely,
movies?
And of course, absolutely. I mean, even the sexual practices of most of the parents. Good Catholic parents, I mean, who are following the Church's teaching, they have a better chance of forming their children correctly about sexuality, but they know that their children are being bombarded by the culture, by false views. But 99%, if not more, of the general culture have led highly immoral sexual lives themselves. They've fornicated, they've engaged in cohabitation, a high percentage are using pornography, they're contracepting within marriage. So how parents who have lived that life and not repented of that life can do a good job of shaping their children, I think that's dubious. So certainly the culture, but then the product of the culture are the parents, and the parents are teaching the children, and you've got many, many sources of bad influence on young people.
That raises a question that I've been thinking a lot about lately, which is, how can the catechism of the church overcome this catechism of the culture? Is it possible?
Well, the catechism itself, obviously, is excellent. It's a question about how the educators use that. I think high school teachers, I think parents, I think catechetical directors can use the catechism to great advantage. There's a certain percentage of people that when they hear the truth, they follow it. The problem is a lot of people are not hearing the truth at all. So the first thing to do is think about, okay, what about that? Let's reach that group first. I'm always astonished at how many people I talk to who say, I heard your CD on contraception and I stopped contracepting. I think, wow, that someone had that kind of heart for the truth, that sort of instantaneously upon hearing it, that affected a conversion in their life. So of that person, you know, the reason that they were engaging in the bad activity, they were engaging in sinful activity, was because of ignorance. And once that ignorance is corrected, they're on the right path. There's a significant percentage of people who are in that state, and really the conversion would be quite instantaneous. There's others who need lengthy persuasion. They need prayer. They need all sorts of things. But getting a small army of those who know the truth and live in accord with the truth, that's a first step.
And I'm Tim Drake. You're listening to Register Radio. I want to remind listeners that we are speaking with Dr. Janet Smith, professor at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. In your article in the National Catholic Register, you also write that in addition to sort of a disordered view of sexuality, that most teens also see homosexuality as completely normal and natural. Are you surprised at all how quickly this view has changed within our culture? I mean, really within a single generation.
Yes, I was very surprised when I saw it happening in the 1990s. Again, my article is largely about it. The title is maybe not precise because it's about homosexuality. It's helping teach young people about how to deal with the question of disordered views of homosexuality. And as you said, there was a concerted effort by the gay movement in the 90s to normalize homosexuality. And I always tell my students, and when I speak publicly about this, that the problem aren't really the homosexual lobbyists. It's really, why are they having so much success among heterosexuals again? They're a small portion of the population and identify as homosexual, maybe up to 3% of males and maybe up to 2% of females, somewhere in that vicinity. And not all of them, of course, are activists. So you have a percentage of a small percentage who are activists. But the point is they're being able to move the 97% who are heterosexual. And why is that? And again, I want to say it's because heterosexuals are quite abysmal in their own sexual behavior. And they don't even want to raise the question of the morality of homosexuality because they'd have to raise the question of the morality of their own behavior. So people are preaching an ethic of tolerance, not so much because they think homosexual behavior should be tolerated, but because they want their behavior to be tolerated. So first we have to acknowledge that our main problem, you might want to say, are not with homosexual activists. It is with the run-of-the-mill heterosexual who is fornicating, contracepting, using pornography, etc.
You also point out in that article, I think, some excellent things that are largely ignored by the media at large. For example, that fidelity is practically non-existent among homosexuals. And that's just something we really don't hear in the secular media, is it?
Well, again, the media has, as we say, an agenda, whatever that quite means. But they're advocates for a toleration of all things homosexual. And so when they present a gay couple, they generally show two, 70-year-old males sitting at a breakfast table, showing a kind of companionship in old age, and that's all very sweet. Or they show two handsome young male homosexuals with their adopted babies, and make it all seem very normal and romantic. And the fact is, I mean, if people visit the websites of the gay movement, they're very emphatic that fidelity is not a value in the gay community. And they, the most articulate of their spokesmen, say that heterosexuals have a great deal to learn from the gay movement, and that is that fidelity shouldn't be a value, that people have polymorphous sexual appetites, and we should be free to act upon those. And you find out that if you were to ask a homosexual couple, especially a gay male couple, are you faithful? They might say yes. But then if you ask them, does that mean you haven't had sex with anybody since you've been with this person? They would say, of course it doesn't mean that. So their notion of fidelity does not include not having other sexual partners. Their notion of fidelity means I don't bring anybody else home. I don't establish a relationship with anybody else. But each one of them is expecting the other person to have sexual intercourse with others. I think it's on the average of 8 partners a year that male homosexuals have.
I want to remind listeners we are talking with Dr. Janet Smith, professor at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit. We're talking about her recent article in the National Catholic Register on homosexuality. As Christians, we have kind of this difficult role of walking the fine line between accepting homosexual persons as individuals while also rejecting their behavior. And I'm wondering, how do we separate the two so that we're respecting the individual while not affirming or celebrating their immoral behavior?
Yes, I think it's a broader question than just the homosexual. I mean, most of us have family members who are cohabiting and contracepting and doing all sorts of things that are not in accord with church teaching. And we have the same kind of question in respect to them. How do we convey to them that we think that the activity that they're engaged in is immoral, at the same time conveying that we love them? And again, a certain pattern. I mean, if we have members in our family who are cohabiting, I think we love them. We still call them. We still ask them how they're doing. We pray for them. We invite them to events. I wouldn't permit, as I said in the article, I wouldn't permit, say, a niece or a nephew of mine to bring home and stay with me with someone they were cohabiting. I would invite them to dinner. I'd like to meet their friend. But I would hope I had found some opportunity to explain to the person I love why I think that their behavior is bad, both morally bad and, you want to say, commonsensically bad. I would want to do the same thing for those in my life who are struggling with a homosexual orientation, to make it clear that I think that the activity is immoral, but I love them and I want to pray for them. I want to pray not only for the conversion, but other things in their life. I want them to get a job. I want their job to go well. I want their projects to go well. So you can keep a fairly normal relationship with anyone who's engaged in sinful activity. And at the same time, you can give them articles or tapes or something that say, I need you to know what I think about this. And to say to them, you know, if you were obese or smoking or doing something foolish with your money, I would try to move you to see another way of doing things. So I want you to know that I do this because I love you, and that's why I'm giving this information to you. So we have to learn how to engage in fraternal correction, I think, more generally in life. And once we did that, we would be better at dealing with those who are struggling with a same-sex attraction.
Before I get to my last question, I want to just direct listeners, if they would like to read more of your work or purchase any of your books or CDs, where can they do that?
I have a web page called Janet E. Smith. I kept that middle initial. I don't know if that was such a good idea, but it's janetesmith.org. and one of my talks is Homosexuality, Why Not? So they could get more of the facts and data that I think people need to know in order to make a good judgment about the practices.
Okay, so that would be janetesmith.org. And yes. Finally, you spend quite a bit of time in this article really talking about teens. And so, you know, as a parent and for those parents who are listening, how do we approach this topic with them? Because, you know, they seem to have a great deal of compassion, if you will, towards some of these arguments and towards homosexuality and homosexuals. So how do we broach this with our teens?
Well, I think it is, first one does have to establish that the only place that sex is permissible is between heterosexuals within marriage and open to life, and that heterosexuals who are not doing that are also leading immoral lives. So you're not singling out homosexuals in any way. You want to make clear that that's true. Then I think you want to, you know, say that you again have friends, maybe even family members who you love, and it doesn't stand in the way of loving a person, but that one has to know the facts about the lifestyle and the choices that are made. And in the article, I talk even about, just I hate to do this, but I mean about very graphically having a sense of what physical activity they do engage in. And that how unnatural that is, that everybody agrees that male, female, married with each other, open to children, that's a natural act. There are many unnatural acts, father, daughter, mother, son, brother, sister, those are all unnatural. Everybody kind of cringes even when you say those things. You go, oh, you know, kind of an ick factor. Oh, do you have to talk about those things? You say, well, we unfortunately we do. because you need to know that there are unnatural acts, and these are unnatural acts. And they lead to all sorts of misery. When people say, well, you know, they want to love and they want to be loved, and of course they do. Everybody does. But the point is, I want to say it's a recipe for heartbreak, not a recipe for love. If you really were to trace the trajectory of the relationships of almost anyone who has a homosexual orientation, it's just one heartbreak after another. The number who manage to land even a lifetime partner, you might say that can develop into, especially among women, a lifetime friendship that turns out not to be sexual. That's a small fraction, because the relationship itself is not one designed to be deeply satisfying. It lacks the complementarity that relationships need in order to be deeply satisfying.
Well, Dr. Smith, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Register Radio and talk about a difficult topic. We hope to have you back again.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this. I appreciate it.
And my thanks as well, Dr. Smith. I really, really appreciate all of your clarity on all this.
Thank you very much.
And when we return, we'll go deeper into the work of Catholics Come Home as they take a very big step. What are we talking about? You'll find out in 1 minute. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Are you concerned about the way our nation and our world are heading? Are you looking for the truth behind the issues of the day? Do you need support in standing up for life, the family, and our Catholic faith? Then join well-informed Catholics worldwide who depend on the National Catholic Register to address the most compelling questions of our time. Now part of the EWTN family of services, the Register is a trusted source of news and views with an unwavering fidelity to the Pope and the Magisterium. Get the in-depth analysis you need explaining what happened and why it matters for Catholics who engage in the culture to serve Christ. To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
If it's happening at the Vatican, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, look to EWTN News for live coverage of landmark events in the life of the Church. From today's headlines to compelling interviews with Catholic newsmakers, EWTN News, only on the Global Catholic Network.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. Along with Tim Drake, I'm Tom Price. And Tim, anyone who has listened to EWTN radio or watched EWTN television for any length of time has probably heard or seen those great productions of the apostolate Catholics Come Home. Now, before we bring on Tom Peterson, the founder and president of Catholics Come Home, let's hear a 30-second sample of their work so everybody will know what we're talking about.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
As you can hear, a very powerful message there. I just love their simplicity. And Tim, we're delighted to talk with Tom Peterson right now.
Yes, indeed. A former advertising executive in 1997, Tom Peterson experienced a reversion to his Catholic faith, and he founded Virtue Media and Catholics Come Home, apostolates dedicated to using television to promote the sanctity of life and Catholic evangelization. Catholics Come Home recently announced that they are launching their first national advertising campaign during Advent. Thanks for being with us on Register Radio, Tom.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys, and what a blessing it is that for the first time in history, we get to put the good news of Jesus through these forms of television commercials out on the national airwaves on major networks to invite our friends, relatives, and neighbors home to the Catholic Church.
Tell us a little bit about that, Tom. Just when are the ads running? Where are they running? Where can people expect to see them? Just give us the overview.
From December 16th to January 9th, for three full weeks, you'll be seeing ads on CBS and NBC, on Univision in Spanish, on TNT, USA, the major cable networks. And I think it's the first time in history anyone's done national network ads that are faith-based. So, you know, you'll be tuning in to 60 Minutes or the Jay Leno Show or Today Show, NBC Nightly News, CSI, and seeing a Catholics Come Home ad. So praise God, it's 400 of them are going to air, maybe a few more if we can get a few more donations. And they'll air coast-to-coast, all 200-and-some-plus dioceses. And 250 million people will be exposed to this good news message, inviting them back to the church.
That's fantastic. Tell us how this came about. You've been doing this since, we've been doing it for some time in different dioceses. Just talk about the history behind Catholics Come Home.
Well, 70% of baptized Catholics worldwide don't practice their faith, so there's really a crisis in the world. And you know, the secular world distracts us and our kids from faith. And so it's so important for us to put out this good news message, inviting people back. 90% of folks who come back, Tim, say that it was because you invited me. They don't have a grudge against the church. They don't hate God. They just got distracted. So it's critical that we put out this invitation to them. We've aired in over 33 dioceses so far. And just in the few, maybe a dozen or more, that have counted the people who have come back, they're reporting over 300,000 souls have come back to the church thanks to God's grace and the use of the Catholics Come Home campaign. And so imagine how many have likely come back. But you know what? The Good Shepherd tells us, I would do it for the one. He cares about all souls. So we would do this for one, and we would help to increase Catholic identity. We would help to invite souls back who are not active in their faith. And we would also reach out to potential converts to say, this is what our church teaches. We have the Eucharist, reconciliation, the sacraments in the church Jesus himself started 2,000 years ago.
I'm Tim Drake. You're listening to Register Radio, and we are talking with Tom Peterson, founder and president of Catholics Come Home, about their national television advertising campaign for Catholics and the church. Tom, there are other faiths. Perhaps people have seen ads for the Mormons, for example. So it's about time that, Catholics got into this game, isn't it?
Amen, Tim. We've seen those ads for years. And we've said, where are the Catholics? It's about time. It's kind of strange that just, you know, a little group of four lay people in Roswell, Georgia, formerly Gilbert, Arizona, you know, created and did this. But God uses us nobodies for a reason. That way he can get the glory and the credit. And we've been blessed by wonderful cardinals and bishops and many dioceses who have pitched in. About 35,000 people have contributed to this campaign to make it a reality. So it's the lay folks in the church like you and I, as well as the clergy, that are working together as a family to invite the other family members back home. Makes good sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So based on what has happened elsewhere, and you said this is the ads have run in how many different dioceses originally?
About 33, 34 dioceses have aired Catholics Come Home in the last 3 years alone, helping to increase mass attendance as much as 18%. But on the average, it's been 10% in those dioceses that have aired Catholics Come Home during Advent or Lent.
And so based on what's happened elsewhere in these other 33, 34 dioceses over the last 3 years, what kind of results do you expect to see from the national advertising campaign?
Well, again, if we were to look at numbers, and that's not the greatest way to look at it, because Jesus tells us, you know, to evangelize all souls no matter what happens, it could be potentially a million people coming back to the church based on the statistics we've had from other dioceses that they've reported to us unbiasedly. We don't get involved in the number counting. They do. But even if you take the numbers out of it, we can see increased positive PR for the Catholic faith. We can see increased identity. We can see current Catholics wanting to go deeper in their faith. We can see inactive Catholics taking another look and coming home to the church. And finally, we can see those non-Catholics who will say, I never knew that about the church. Maybe I'll take a look at becoming Catholic, or finally converting since my husband or wife is Catholic and I just haven't made that leap into RCIA yet. we think there's a lot of good fruit that's going to come from it. And we've seen it in other dioceses now, and airing coast to coast, the fruit's only going to be greater.
And, Tom, my last question for you would be this. It's not just ads we're talking about, because it's also linked to a phenomenal website. And so what I wanted to ask, how can listeners either learn more or perhaps even contribute to the ad effort? Just let us know how to do that.
Sure, thanks. The ads are all connected to a website, CatholicsComeHome.org, and then we have a Spanish site as well. But CatholicsComeHome.org gives you all the resources of going deeper in your faith, whether you're a current Catholic, inactive Catholic, or have never been Catholic. There's also a little spot at the top of the website, CatholicsComeHome.org, where you can click on it and get involved in this first ever national Advent campaign. And we really need your help. Because the more ads we run, the better our first impression is, and the more souls we can bring home, and hopefully your loved ones and relatives. So please join us in this and do a sacrificial tax-deductible year-end contribution. And more than that even, in addition to that, please pray for us as a team, and please pray for countless souls to come home through God's grace and mercy.
Well, fantastic, Tom. Thank you for your work, and thank you also for joining us here on Register Radio. We hope that the national ad campaign is just a tremendous success. Thanks for joining us.
Praise God, and God bless you all.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom and Tim. You know, EWTN was certainly on the forefront of playing those spots on both radio and television, and we are just delighted that they are going out to everybody out there who can experience them. So it's very exciting for all of us. And I want to promote that website one more time, CatholicsComeHome.org. And that's going to be it for Register Radio for this week. And Tim, once again, since you wished it to me, I'm going to wish it right back to you, you and your family, and all of our listeners, of course, a very peaceful Advent, my friend.
Thank you, Tom. I want to remind listeners that we love to hear from you. So if you have comments, criticisms, whatever it may be, feel free to email us. You can find the email through the Register Radio website at the National Catholic Register, www.ncregister.com. And we'll talk to you next week.
And thank you all for joining us on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With your donations to the National Catholic Register, you will play an active role in clarifying the Church's views. Visit ncregister.com and click on the Donate tab, or call 205-568-9756.